Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from the fifth canto, chapter 2, and by my calculation, text 15. Are we in the same or are we in parallel universes? We're okay? Very good. Rupam tapodana tapash charatam tapognam hi etat tu kena tapasa bhavadot palabdam kartum tapo arasi maya saha mitra mayam kim va prasiddhi sa vai bhava bhavano me rupam tapodana tapascharatam tapognam hetatukena tapasa bhavato palabdam kartum taporasi maya sahamittamayam kim va prasidati sava bhava bhavano me rupam tapodana tapascha charitam tabognam pam tapodana tapascharatam he tatukena tapasa bhavato palabdam kartum tapo harsi maya sahamittamayam kim va prasidati sava bhava bhavano me rupam tapodana tapascharatam tapognam hetatukena tapasa bhavato palabdam kartum tapohasi maya sahamittamayam kim va prasidati sava bhava bhavano me Rupam tapodana tapasa chara. Vaishnavis, Tava. He tatukena tapasa bhavato palabdam. kartum taporasi maya tamayam kimva prasidati savabhavanume rupam beauty tapadana. O best of the sages performing austerity, tapacharatam, of persons engaged in executing austerities and penance, tapagnam, which dismantles the austerities, he certainly, etat, this, to indeed, kena, by what? Tapasa, austerity. Bhavata, by you. Upalabdham, achieved. Kartum, to execute. Tapa, austerity. Arasi, you ought. Maya saha, with me. Mitra, my dear friend. Mayam, unto me. Kimva, or maybe. Prasidati, is pleased. Sa, he. Va, certainly. Bhavabhavana, the creator of this universe. Me, with me. O best amongst those performing austerities, where did you get this wonderful beauty that dismantles the austerities performed by others? Where have you learned this art? What austerity have you undergone to achieve this beauty, my dear friend? I desire that you join me to perform austerities and penance, for it may be that the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, being pleased with me, has sent you to become my wife. Also you say, O best amongst those performing austerities, where did you get this wonderful beauty that dismantles the austerities performed by others? Where have you learned this art? What austerity have you undergone to achieve this beauty, my dear friend? I desire that you join me to perform austerities and penance, for it may be that the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, being pleased with me, has sent you to become my wife. Purport. Agnidra appreciated the wonderful beauty of Purvachiti, surprised to see such exceptional beauty, which must have been the result of past austerities and penances. He therefore asked the girl whether she had achieved such beauty just to break the penance and austerity of others. He thought... Excuse me, I'm recovering from a cold. Something other misery will come, but this one is going and a new one is just on the horizon. He requested Purvachiti to become his wife so that together they could perform austerities and penances in family life. In other words, a suitable wife helps her husband perform penances and austerities in household life if both of them are on the same elevated platform of spiritual understanding. Without spiritual understanding, husband and wife cannot be equally situated. Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, is interested in good progeny. Therefore, unless he is pleased, one cannot get a suitable wife. In fact, Lord Brahma is worshipped in marriage ceremonies. In India, even today, wedding invitations are still issued with a picture of Lord Brahma on the face of the card. Om agena timarandasya gena gena salakaya jakshu shirmilitan gena tazare shi gurave namaha. Before I forget, I do have a slideshow. Dare I tinker with this? We'll see, won't we? Don't. I know you want to get excited. Don't. Just stay where you are. We'll deal with it. Otherwise, we'll spend 40 minutes trying to fix it. We'll get it adjusted just perfectly when class is over. No, don't. So, I do have a very nice slideshow. It's enlivening events innovative activities about ISKCON around the world. I guarantee, not because of me, just because ISKCON is wonderful, I can show that, but we need a screen and we need a first-class show even when there's light. So whoever the temple, if you've got such a thing, if not Hare Krishna, we'll forget about it, but if you've got it, a nice screen, not a sheet, but an actual screen and a good projector, let me know. If you have one, step forward. Hare Krishna. The Bhagavatam is full of cautionary tales. It is not what to do. When I first came to the temple, Los Angeles Temple, the old temple on La Cienega, one of the first things I heard Srila Prabhupada say, I came in late for a lecture. And I heard Prabhupada say, we have so many do-nots. Now, with my muttering, deep conditioning, bewilderment, I thought Prabhupada said donuts, the nice pastry. I thought, fantastic. I'd given up eating eggs. I thought, well, he's describing the feast menu. But as I listened more carefully, I came clear to me. He was saying do-nots. Do not do this. A farmer, a rice farmer, you will see him in the field when he's planting the, you see him with a bag of shoots, you know, the young rice plants. He's engaged in two activities in that field. What are one of the activities he's doing in that field? He's planting. But what is the other activity of equal importance? He's got to pull out the weeds. So the Bhagavatam is full of success stories, and it's also full of cautionary tales. We should note, this tale does not have a happy ending. He goes to Pitriloka, chasing after his wife. He misses the whole point of human life. So this is not a path to be followed, but a path to be avoided, to be learned from. He refers to, I'm taking sannyas by Krishna's grace, if Prahlad Nandamarch doesn't throw me off the list. I'm taking Mayapur. So I hope you don't mind, it will have a little saffron flavor. I mean, the verse is begging for it, so I hope you don't mind. And Prabhupada said that for a man, woman is Maya, and for a woman, man is Maya. So you can, you know, we're not picking on sides, we're talking about principles here. He refers in the verse, my dear friend. The fact of the matter is, Vaisheshika Prabhu was telling me that he has a friend, a nice devotee, and he was standing next to him at a book table, and someone came up to the book table and asked him, what does Hare Krishna mean? So Vaisheshika Prabhu, knowing this devotee has a nice realizations, leaned in to hear what he would say. So we know Hare is Krishna's energy, Krishna's Krishna, O energy of the Lord, O Lord, please engage me in your service. We know that, okay, fine. But there's also expansions and elaborations and nuances on that statement. So the devotee, the conditioned soul, the person coming up to the table asked, what does Hare Krishna mean? And the devotee responded, it means, I need help. And I think that's legitimate, you know. I remember Prabhupada give it, we are marginal potency. I was sitting there. Prabhupada said, we're sitting on a fence. We can lean this way or we can lean this way. If we lean this way on a fence, what will happen? What will happen, young man? Certainly you understand the principle of gravity. If I'm sitting on a fence and I lean this way, what will happen? I'll fall that way. If I lean this way, what will happen? I will fall that way. So we are marginal. Therefore, our inherent, our intrinsic nature, like the nature of chili is to be hot, or the nature of sugar is to be sweet. You can't say, oh, this is salty sugar. Well, what does that mean, you know? So the intrinsic of the conditioned soul of us, you and me, is to take shelter. We need help. We are looking for a friend. There's a famous country western song. Of course, now I'm steeped in my American idioms. But the name of the song is Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for friends. We want to take shelter, but we're taking shelter in the wrong place. This is our free will. We have a choice. We have an existential choice. It's actually the only choice we've got. Who are we going to take shelter of? Who is going to friend? Is our dear friend going to be this material nature? Or is our dear friend going to be Krishna and his spiritual nature? That is the choice we have to make. It is exercising all of us. I was thinking about it, actually. We're not too sure about Krishna. I'm speaking for myself, certainly. Okay, we surrender to Krishna. We know but he's known as Hari. You know, he tends to take things away. There's the famous prayer by St. Augustine. I think it's St. Augustine. Either St. Augustine or St. Anthony. He says, "Oh Lord, give me celibacy. Just not yet." You follow? So we want to surrender to Krishna, but not necessarily at that speed and not necessarily in that way and not necessarily now. You mean right now? Well, hang on a minute. So and Maya, Prayas and Shreyas, we are meant to be intelligent. Isha Upanishad refers to the human being as the introspective sage. Man is called the rational animal. And if we don't use that rationality, then we are no better than animals. And that rationality is to inquire, what is my long-term interest? Prabhupada said, one of the first examples I heard Prabhupada give, he said, suppose I invite you into my apartment, and there's a huge feast there, everything you like. Whatever's dancing in your mind right there, nice, tasty item, is on the table. Offered nicely to Krishna Balaram. What's not to love? But you know that standing behind the door is somebody who's going to beat you with a stick as soon as you're finished. As soon as you sink your choppers into that first samosa, whack in the back. Are you going to go in? Are you going to go in, young man? What? All that nice stuff is there. Why aren't you going to go in? Because you know I can't actually enjoy it. We're all trying to become comfortable in this world. I have a place over at the MVT. I'm here by Krishna's grace until the 8th of February. You can do the math how many days that is. But, oh, I want to become comfortable. Oh, I hang this up there, and I put this over here, and I fix up this, and I, you know. Ah, now it's very, oh, I need to go to Loy Bazaar and get a few more items. Then it'll become really nice. So we are absorbed in trying to become comfortable in this world. But what is one of the symptoms? Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, one of the symptoms of knowledge, there's that whole wonderful purport that gives all the symptoms of knowledge, the indicators or qualities of knowledge. And one of those is to be aware of the evil of birth, death, disease, and old age. I was raised in California. I came from a relatively well-to-do family. Of course, we should keep everything in perspective. Prabhupada said the demigods won't even come and pass urine on this planet. So whatever you've got in this planet is not really to write home about, as they say. Still, even a pauper is proud of his penny. And I thought if I just stay on the conveyor belt, everything's going to work out great. Set for a good college, set for, you know, it's all going to work, and I'm just going to enjoy like anything. And I'm living in California, where the sun is always shining. It never drops below 65 degrees. Never goes above 80. If you're right by the sea, nice sea breezes blowing. So the devotees, the first devotee I met, Shukadeva Prabhu, I can never repay him. Sensing my inherent illusion and arrogance. You know, I was thinking sour grapes. You know, you Hare Krishna people, you know, you've had a rough experience. You know, maybe you're, you know, want to give it all up, you know, because you just sticker, those who don't know, those who say money can't buy happiness, you know this saying, money can't buy happiness? So those who can't say money can't buy happiness don't know where to shop.
If you know where to shop, then you can, you know. So I was thinking, they don't know how to do it, but I know how to do it. So the devotee, sensing my inherent arrogance, said to me, you know one thing, my friend? I said, what's that? He said, everybody drops dead. I thought, whoa. So these Hare Krishna people are heavy. But it rattled around in my brain. It's true. You have to give it all up. So and I will credit him. There's a nice example given by Bhakti Purushottam Swami. A man is walking in the field. It's a sunny day, fragrant breeze. He's going to see his girlfriend, paramour. Everything is just dandy. All of a sudden he falls into a well, you know, a blind well. And you can imagine you're trying to scramble. So he grabs and he stops his fall. And his eyes adjust to the light. He realizes, I'm in this well. And he says, well, maybe I'll go down. Let me get out of this predicament. He looks down. What does he see? Big cobra. Saying, come on down. Come on, snack item. Come on down. Well, can't go down. Thinks, well, I'll go up. What does he see when he goes up? Sees a big tiger leaning over the mouth. Saying, come on up. Come on up. I'm feeling hungry. You little walking pakora, come on up. So what to do? Stay where he is. But he notices that he's holding onto roots that have grown through the side of the wall, and there's a black rat and a white rat gnawing through them. So, you know, it's going to give sooner or later. So just see his predicament. And then he feels something's dripping on his head. And he looks up, and lo and behold, over the mouth of the well, there's a tree with a branch and a little beehive. And a little drop of honey. Dick, 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 little honey is dripping. And he's, hey, not so bad. The cobra is compared to the life force. Time and tide wait with no one. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So life force is going. And cobra, you know, I mean the tiger at top, Durga's riding on a tiger. So this material nature devours all things. Time I am. Devours all things. Black rat, white rat, daytime, nighttime, gnawing away at our existence. But we get a little pinch of happiness and we think, nah, it's not so bad. We should be, you know, Prabhupada tells a story about, the Sanskrit term is stanu. Stanu means steady, fixed. Just like prema becomes kama, you know, perverted reflection. So the living entity is situated in the spiritual nature. But that perverted reflection of that principle becomes our tendency to become steady, stuck, anesthetized, you know, asleep at the wheel in this world. That's the tendency, that whatever our condition, we become acclimatized and we accept it. So Prabhupada tells a story of it was a king. And he somehow or other got it in his head to feed all the lazy men in his kingdom. Feed all the lazy men. So, you know, can you imagine a huge turnout. He had a big pandal, the whole pandal tent filled up. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Gaurinathaya Radhashyama Sundar. Well, this is going to be quite expensive. I don't want to pay for all these people. So they can't all be bona fide lazy. So he asked his prime minister, his advisor, what to do. His prime minister said, light the tent on fire. All right, lit the tent on fire. Everybody ran out except for two men. So the one man said to the other, he said, you know, he said, this tent's on fire. The other guy said, yeah, but this khichdi is so nice. He said, just turn your back a little. Just like they make this nice, this khichdi is quite nice that you have over here, this khichdi, you know. So The prime minister said, these two men, they're so lazy, they won't even run out of a burning tent. You feed them. They're bona fide lazy. Forget all the others. They can take care of themselves. So that's the measure. Too lazy to run out of a burning tent. And if you study the law of entropy, this whole world is on fire by the law of friction. Prabhupada said everything has a growth, birth, maturation, culmination, decline, and death. Everything is cyclically. Everything is wearing down by the law of friction. Everything in this world is on fire. We are in a burning. We're too lazy to run out of it. Samsara dava nalalila loka. That's our actual position. I was at a wedding the other day, and you know the picture is there, especially a Gujarati wedding. I mean, they have the same principle in so many weddings. But Gujarati wedding, and the man rides in on a horse. You ever seen that? He has a nice turban. I was at one wedding, boom, they hit up the drums, scared the horse shot off. Guy lost his hat, took a half hour to get the guy back. So, anyway, but he's feeling very happy, and he's being carried by his friends, and everyone is singing, and he has a nice... So I was standing next to one devotee friend, nice, he's also a Gujarati man, Bhaktivatsal Prabhu. And he said to me, you know, Prabhu, he said, king for a day, slave for the rest of his life. And it's true. I was riding in a car. You know, the impression is there. O saffron cloth Prabhus. Sannyasis already know this. That's why they've taken sannyas. But sometimes there's the... there was one woman... one mother, she came, oh, my son is in this movement, and he's living in the Brahmacharya Ashram. This was in the old days, and still the principle is there. They actually had marked the floor with tape like parking places. We had in a room, maybe from this column to that column and across, 30 men sleeping. And you lay down like cords of wood, you know? So the boy came from a well-to-do, materially well-to-do family, spiritually totally an illusion and bankrupt. But the boy was showing her where he was staying. And she saw he had, you know. And then she said, where do you keep all your things, all your stuff? So he had a little shelf. He didn't have three shelves. He had one shelf, three dhotis. Actually, one he was wearing, two dhotis, a spare in case something happens, in case laundry's late. He had his Bhagavad Gita, three pairs of kopans, three t-shirts, and finished, you know, all on one shelf. And the mother burst into tears. She was heartbroken. You know, we're a little off the track, but we had a devotee, it's a long story, but the short version, a very nice brahmachari, one of our Sankirtan devotees, and he needed to get some medical care. So, in those days in America, you could go to the government office and you fill out a form, see if you have any assets. If you can pay for it yourself, they're not going to pay for it. So you can imagine, in those government offices, people aren't happy. You know, everyone's miserable, the workers aren't happy, nobody wants to be there. And in Detroit, they're behind big, thick, bulletproof glass. It's true. So the lady doesn't even look up. She's behind this bulletproof glass, and everybody's grumbling, and they just slide the paper under, and she slides it back. So the devotee brahmachari filled out the form. And they ask, you know, how much is in your bank? How much is your credit? How much is your assets? You know, your own property, this. They ask everything. Do you have a burial plot, gold fillings in your head? They ask everything. And the devotee filled out the form, 0000000000000. And they have a total at the bottom, zero. So, you know, he just feels honest. Devotee just filled out the form, slipped it under the window. And the lady, you know, she's just used to shuffling the papers. Boing! She stopped. She was shocked. And she looked up, and you could see on her face such a moment of puzzlement, of bewilderment, because the form and the person, they didn't tally, they didn't equate, it didn't balance. Because here you have something, has nothing. zero, zip, nil, nada. And yet he's effulgent. And all, you know, nice devotee, they have a face of knowledge. They carry a gravitas. They have an effulgence and a weight. And a transcendental Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sojitena kanchate. They have that aura to them. She couldn't compute it. So I started joking with her. I said, what's the matter? She said, I've worked here 25 years. I've never gotten a form that was zero. It's never happened, you know? So she was wondering, and you look so happy. She would say, yes. She said, are you on drugs? You know? I said, no. Although we did have a few rascoolas before we went, but that's another thing, you know? The point I'm trying to make is that, and I'm thinking of the time factor. Just as we're measuring who our friend is, of course the embodiment is for a man, it's a woman, for a woman, it's a man, you know, who's going to, oh, that was my point. This mother who was shocked by her son living on, you know, his little parking space and his this and that, you know, she asked him, she said, what does this saffron cloth meant? I said, we're color-coded. I said, white means that, you know, we're married, and saffron means single. A vow of celibacy. She said, you'll never get married? She said, but a wife takes all the bumps out of the road of life. You know, to make everything smooth and comfortable. There's a diary when the pilgrims came to, they came from Europe and they came to America and inhabited the place. And first the men came. And it was a pretty rough place, you know. And they say after they got, they made it through the first winter or second winter, they brought over their wives. And they said, as soon as the wives showed up, you began seeing curtains in the windows and little flower boxes. And you could smell fresh baked bread. And the place became livable. Fine, I offer my respects. If I was there, I would have liked to have some fresh baked bread as well. But we have to, just like we're measuring, here it says, my dear friend. It's forgotten all about Krishna. And taken shelter of the material nature. Oh, you're my dear friend. So in a similar fashion, we have to measure what is the purpose, in the ultimate issue, what is the purpose of this world? We are not sentimentalists. There's the famous, I believe it was Brahmananda, but I'm not sure. Brahmananda moved into the temple in New York. Jewish family. Mother was, I think father was out of the picture. So the boys were the shelter of the mother. Mother freaked. Sent the young Gargamuni to retrieve the older son. Gargamuni called after meeting Prabhupada. Said, actually, what my brother's doing is very good. And he's very happy. He's doing the right thing with his life. And I'm moving in too. Oh! The mother, you could hear the wheels squealing from upstate New York as she raced down to, you know, Manhattan to accost Srila Prabhupada. And she burst into the room saying, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. Prabhupada with his transcendental, you know, jujitsu is if somebody takes a swing at you, you don't punch back, you take that energy, you pull it, you use their energy against them. So Prabhupada often did this in arguments. It's very sweet to watch. So the lady was going, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. Prabhupada said, yes, madam. You think that we're crazy. Please sit down, sit down. You think that we're crazy. He said, and frankly, madam, we think you're crazy. Now let's make a list. And Prabhupada took a paper, piece of paper, and drew a line down the middle, said, let's compare. Now, here's all the reasons that we think you're crazy. And there's a really long list. I mean, they're eating bones and feathers coming out of their mouth and smoking, burning. I mean, where do you want to start? Decorating this body, which Rukmini describes, this bag of, you know, this, that, so many things I don't want to mention before breakfast. Decorated with a mustache. So let's analyze who, that's what the whole thing. And then Prabhupada said, now why do you say we're crazy? I was at a program one time in Laguna Beach, Rath Yatra, and we were distributing prasadam. And these, you know, it's right by the beach. And these young kids, you know, young kids, they see a festival, hey, they're going to get in line. So they, young boys, they want to take some prasad. And I made two nice big plates, you know, halava, khichri, nice pakora, some puri, you know, nice prasad, all cooked in ghee. So I went to hand them the prasad. And all of a sudden, the mother swooped in out of nowhere. "What's that food?" So the boys were a little disturbed. You know, they could savor it. They could see it in their mind. I said, "All right, you're the mother. Whatever you say, madam, I'm not going to get in your way of parental custody and all of that. But do you mind me asking why?" She said, "I know about you people." She said, "There must be drugs in that food." I said, "Why did you say that?" She said, "I know about you people." She said, "No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no TV, no boyfriend, girlfriend. And look at you all. You're all happy. You must be on drugs." It's the only way she could calculate the thing, you know. And I said, "You know, madam, did you ever think that the reason we're happy is because we don't do those things and because we don't take any drugs? It's the antithesis. It's the exact opposite of what you're thinking." And after some time, she became quite mellow. She took prasadam, and the boys, much to their relief, they also took prasad, you know. Jai Jagannan. But the point is that we are measuring form from function. Let's say it that way. You know, the artists, they're always digging around in the dirt. And they find little pot shards. They're always very happy if they find some little broken pot. That's their main business. Some arrowhead, some broken pot, this and that. Fine, let's give them some credit. They dig around in the dirt and they find these little broken pieces of pot, the pottery. And they put it back together. You know, people spend their whole lifetime. Sadhapuja told me there was a man who'd spent 45 years studying beetles. And not just any beetles, only a particular section of beetles that are found in a particular part of Africa. So they know more and more about less and less. But that's another whole class. They're digging around, they find these pot shards, and they try to put the thing back together, you know? And they put it back together and it makes a particular shape. And from that form, they deduce its function. From the form, you can understand the function. They'll say, "Oh, it was a funerary jar," and it means they had some sense of an afterlife, or, "Oh, it was used for holding grain, so they must have an agrarian culture." You know, they from the form, they figure out the function, and they extrapolate from that how the whole society was working. You with me? Okay, fine. So let's step back. We're not talking sentiment here. We're not talking magical thinking. Let's for a moment be honest. You want to be honest? Let's be honest. They say, "Oh, you sentimentalists, you believe this and that, and you know, you've given up your free will, and you know, well, you believe in magical thinking." Fine. Put all that aside for a minute. Let's be honest. You look at this body, and you see what this body is designed for. You say it's designed for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I say it's not. You want to have sex? Be a pigeon. Be a rabbit. Be a tiger. A tiger, when a woman is in heat, I don't want to even go to the number, 56 times a day, in one day, 24 hours, they can have sex. They'd kill a man if he tried that. So what is a body designed for? We have to be we eat a little too much, especially as you get older, a little too much, a little too little. Ah, the whole body's out of whack for weeks. You know? Hog, I saw the hog just slurping up this horrible, poisonous swill of gutter water, like a nice lassi, just guzzling it up. No problem. So if you study sleeping, you know, you get old men together, not devotee men. They'll talk about how they're sleeping less. But you get old men together, I swear to you, I used to see my grandfather, they'd get to, "Oh, how did you sleep last night?" "Well, how was your sleep?" "Oh, very sweet, very nice sleep." But how long can they sleep? We have some brahmacharis that are going for the record. No one yet is in Ripley's, but, you know, 8 hours, maybe 10 hours if they really push it. Bears hibernate. They sleep how long? There's a June bug. This one type of bug, it hibernates 11 months. Comes out and lives for 1 month. If that. Maybe it's 2 weeks. So if you want to sleep, you want to eat, you want to mate, this body is not designed for it. What is it designed for? I think, therefore I am. Atato brahma jigyasya. That's what this body is designed for. We have the ability to discern, to differentiate, to see into the future. Prabhupada gave a great example. A bag of grain falls off a cart and splits open. The farmer doesn't even know, he keeps going. Bird comes, takes a few grains, flies away. Little mouse, just like there was that enthusiastic mouse here the other day for class. Little mouse comes, takes a few grains, goes away. Now what will a man do? Human being in general. He'll take a few grains, fill up a pocket. Walk a couple, say, hey, wait a minute. He'll fill up the other pocket. Think, well, I'm going to go home and my wife's going to say, what, you nitwit, why didn't you take the whole bag? So he'll take the whole bag home with him, you know? Because he's thinking of the future. A bird, I think I mentioned this last time, but there's those birds in Mayapur. They take the leaves of the palm or whatever you call it, and they pull them over, and they stitch them together, and they make that little teardrop-shaped nest. You ever seen that? It's quite an architectural feat, actually. But they do it every year. They never say, ah, enough with this. I'm putting in a sun deck. I'm going with a geodesic dome. You know, well, I'm putting a basement in, you know? They do it the same way every time.